gonna be scary. Not for us.
All engine running. Liftoff.
To Hart on Thompson, steps right, shoots for the win of three. He got it! He got it!
This ain't my first rodeo.
Westbrook to the basket. Turns Schroeder around. Russell Westbrook.
House the three and the lead, you betcha.
Covington, biggest shot of the game, and he hits it. The corner, P.J. Tucker. Gordon by Gordon Rich.
It's time to accomplish something together that we haven't accomplished before.
We both understand that we have one common goal, and that's to win a championship, so.
Let's get it.
The losing streak is over. The Rockets won a game of basketball. Put away the pitchforks, please. They come away with the win, 117-111 against the Minnesota Timberwolves. What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every single day. As always, I'm your host, Jackson Gatlin. You can find me on Twitter at JT Gatlin. You can also find our show on Twitter at Locked On Rockets. And if you guys appreciate what we do here at Locked On Rockets, please do me a favor, subscribe to the podcast on Apple, Google, Spotify, drop us a review, leave us some stars. I would sincerely appreciate it. As I already said, Rockets beat the Timberwolves 117-111. And look, first things first, is this an impressive win? In the grand scheme of things, it's not. It's the Timberwolves minus Karl Anthony Towns. But is this an impressive win considering how bad the team has played for the last week? Absolutely. This was one of those wins where it felt like the Rockets almost won their championship. Like, they come away with the W. The way that they were playing the end of the third quarter, the beginning of the fourth, they were actually out there. I saw some smiles. They were actually enjoying playing the game of basketball. Like, who'd have thought, right? The doom and gloom was finally gone, and it looked like they were finally able to relax a little bit and just play the game. And that was so important. And it didn't happen right away. It honestly, this game kind of looked like we were headed for another potential frustrating loss until the switch was flipped at the end of that third quarter. They decided to up the defensive intensity and really get into the Timberwolves, start forcing turnovers. Just that stretch at the end of the third quarter going into the fourth quarter by the Russell Westbrook bench unit, as well as then when James Harden checks back in, he keeps it going. That was what won them the game. And so we'll get into that specific play-by-play, the set of plays that, you know, led to really that spark that started their ability to pull away from this one. But on the surface, James Harden, 37 points, 4 rebounds, 7 assists, had a couple steals, had a block, 3 turnovers, 11 of 19 shooting overall, 5 of 10 from behind the three-point arc. A phenomenal overall game from James Harden in this one. Russell Westbrook had himself a night as well, 27 points. He had 6 rebounds, 7 assists, 4 steals on the evening, 11 of 17 shooting, didn't attempt a 3 in this one. So he'd been kind of a little bit more, I don't want to say aggressive about taking 3s as of late, but a little bit more comfortable with taking the wide open ones that the defense had been giving him. Didn't go for that tonight. Didn't attempt a single 3, was 5 of 6 from the charity stripe. James Harden himself was 10 of 14 from the charity stripe, so some missed free throws between the two of them. Russ did have 6 turnovers in this one, and I specifically said that what I want to see out of him, and to a lesser extent Harden as well, is the ability to take care of the basketball a little bit better. But he did, and there were at least 2 moments in this one where Russ turned the ball over and then immediately came back and got a steal down on the other end. So it's like, and I commented on this during the game, there was very little head hanging in this one. And I think that was one of the big things. It's just the energy of the team felt different, and not energy from the standpoint of are they trying or are they not trying out there on the court. They actually, it looked like they were more confident in this one. It looked like, okay, you know, great. So what? Missed shot. Who cares? Get back down and play defense. Okay, turnover. Guess what? Who cares? I'm going to come back down and take the ball away from you. That's the kind of confidence and attitude that you have to have when you're playing basketball. You can't be dwelling on what happened 2 plays ago or 5 plays ago, or you can't think about the missed shots you had in the first quarter when it's time for the second half to start. You can't do that. You have to reset your mind every possession. You have to be ready for the next thing that's happening. You can't be dwelling on the past, because if you are, you're not going to be focused on what's happening in the moment, in the game, trying to make the next right play. And so I think that was something that had been going on with the team, some head hanging, some, you know, doubting of what they were doing, you know, whether it's the offensive scheme, the defensive scheme, just some self-consciousness, whatever. Didn't see a lot of that in this one. Even throughout the first half, where the first half wasn't super pretty and they did trail heading into halftime, it wasn't an ideal scenario, but they still fought back into it. You know, they had the Wolves open strong, the Rockets had their kind of counterpunch to that, and then the Wolves came back with a second really strong, like, left hook, basically, and it looked like the Rockets may very well roll over and struggle again in this one. Didn't happen. I like that. I like that they had the right, you know, for lack of a better term, they had the right swagger in this game. And so coming up in the second segment, we'll hear a little bit of James Harden post-game kind of, you know, talking about the importance of Eric Gordon, the importance of some of the plays that are drawn up between him and Russell Westbrook. And that's another point, is Eric Gordon remembering how to play basketball in this game was absolutely huge. He missed all six of his shots. Or I take that back, not all six. Was it all six? He didn't score in the first half. I don't have his shot totals in front of me. I want to say it was six shots. He didn't hit anything in the first half. Scored all 16 of his points in the second half. And so Eric Gordon remembering how to play basketball was huge in this one, because between James Harden, Russell Westbrook, and Eric Gordon, they had 52 of the Rockets' 65 second half points between those three guys. And those are the three guys, right? Those are the three guys that are going to get everything done. Harden, Westbrook, and Gordon. Unfortunately, Gordon hasn't really been that third banana this season. He's been struggling with the injuries. He's never really gotten into a flow or into a rhythm. And even I was concerned in my recent expectations podcast about what's going to go on with Eric Gordon moving forward, because I think that the team can be successful without him, but they can't be successful if he's out there absorbing 20 to 30 minutes a night and struggling the way that he has been. So this was a nice return to form by Eric Gordon. 16 points, couple rebounds, had an assist, just one turnover, 5 of 15 shooting overall on the evening, just 2 of 9 from downtown. But again, it was that second half where his numbers, I want to say he was 5 of 9 shooting overall from the floor, 2 of 6 from behind the arc. So his second half looked significantly better than his first half. And so we'll hear in just a moment from James Harden coming up about the importance of Eric Gordon, the importance of the bench scoring, and some of the dynamics between he and Russell Westbrook on the offensive plays that they run together. So we'll get to that in just one second. But first, a quick word from our friends over at Blinkist. So let me tell you guys about one of the most useful apps on my phone. You know, it's hard to find the time to sit down and read and learn more. And when you don't have free time, you can't read or work on personal development. There's an incredible app that actually solves this problem. It's called Blinkist. So Blinkist is pretty unique. It works on your phone, your tablet, or even your web browser. Blinkist takes the best key takeaways, the need-to-know information, from thousands of nonfiction books and condenses them down into just 15 minutes that you can read or listen to. Successful people, like business leaders, are well known for reading a lot of books. Blinkist is made for busy people like you and me who want to get the main points of a book quickly so you can start using that information right away. And with its audio feature, Blinkist makes it easy to finish a book during your commute, your lunch break, or even while you exercise. 12 million people are using Blinkist right now, and it has a massive and growing library from self-help, business, health, and even history books. Blinkist has the latest titles from bestsellers lists, as well as the classic nonfiction titles you always meant to read but never had the time to. With Blinkist, you get unlimited access to read or listen to a massive library of condensed nonfiction books. All the books you want, all for one low price. Right now, for a limited time, Blinkist has a special offer just for our audience. Go to Blinkist.com/MBA to try it free for 7 days and save 25% off your new subscription. That's Blinkist, spelled B-L-I-N-K-I-S-T, Blinkist.com/MBA to start your 7-day trial. And you'll also save 25% off, but only when you sign up at Blinkist.com/MBA. And we are back in here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball, discussing the Rockets finally ending that dreaded losing streak with a W over the Minnesota Timberwolves, 117-111, improving the Rockets to 40-24 on the season, now 22-10 at home. The Timberwolves fall to 19-45 on the season, 11-21 on the road. kind of a glance at just what the Timberwolves were able to do in this one. D'Angelo Russell, 28 points, 6 rebounds, 5 assists, 4 steals, did have 6 turnovers, shot 5 of 12 from behind the 3-point arc, 7 of 9 from the charity stripe. D'Angelo Russell had himself a game. And I mean, there's no arguing why the Timberwolves traded Andrew Wiggins for D'Lo. It makes a lot more sense. They're angling towards more of a Rockets system of doing things, focusing on the three-pointers, layups, and dunks. It makes sense. They have Garrison Rosas over there now running things for them, a former Rockets front office member alongside Daryl Morey. So it makes sense that they're kind of adopting that ideology over there. In addition to that, Hernan Gomez actually, it felt like he torched the Rockets, and he really did. 4 of 8 from behind the three-point arc, 18 points, 10 boards, had a steal, 6 of 12 shooting overall on the night. Just, there were points where it felt like, I'm really surprised that he only had 4 three-pointers made, because I felt like he hit like 6 or 7 of them in this game. It just felt like every time I looked up, it was Hernan Gomez out there wide open at the three-point line, shooting a wide open, uncontested three-pointer. But as promised, we'll get into the James Harden post-game audio really quick and then talk about that. So here we go.
Yeah, obviously, you know, our starters take on a load, but our bench is key to where we're trying to go. Obviously, Eric, like that's what I just said, try to get him involved more. Austin made some big shots. Jeff played well. It's going to take a collective effort. And obviously, everything isn't going to be pretty all the time. But, you know, as long as we keep the right mindset, more than not, good things will happen.
For a resurgence from Eric can kind of bring you guys back to the offense you were in.
Yeah, and we need to get him going. He hasn't been playing really, you know, all season long. So for him, you know, to get going and give us that extra burst offensively is what we need.
When you screen for Russ or when Russ screens for you, it seems like it always makes an effect. But why is that?
I mean, for instance, tonight, you know, Koji was guarding me, and most of the time he doesn't want to leave my body. So I feel like if I get a good screen on whoever Russ is guarding Russ, he's able to turn the corner and even make a play for himself at the rim or for the rest of our team, and vice versa, just depending on the matchup. So it's pretty good.
So James Harden knows the importance of what Eric Gordon brings to the table, and I think that's maybe an underrated part of this season as a whole and kind of some of the struggles that this team has faced, is because in the previous two seasons with Harden and Chris Paul, it felt like Eric Gordon really was the third banana. And, you know, there were some games where you could argue Clint Capela was, you know, the third best player, but Eric Gordon really was that, like, X-factor type player on a given nightly basis where, you know, Eric could pop off for 20 points any given game. This season, they haven't had that luxury. He's missed so much time, and he's been in and out of the rotation so much that he hasn't really been able to find his groove, to find his rhythm, and be that third guy behind Harden and Westbrook. And that's really difficult to stomach when you think about just how effective Gordon has been in the past with all the attention that Harden and Chris Paul would draw. And now you've got Westbrook, who draws even more attention, in my opinion, than Chris Paul does, as far as, you know, defenses that have to game plan for stopping him and how the offense is now structured completely around Russell Westbrook with the five out spacing. So if we can get Eric Gordon and get a return to form from him, that scoring off the bench, that ideally consistent production from his position, because he's not just a three-point specialist, right? He's not just a guy who's going to spot up and jack up threes from behind the arc like a lot of the other Rockets are. Now, that's not me being negative towards the other Rockets. That's their role. That's their niche. Eric Gordon is that third driving force. Now, Austin Rivers can drive a little bit too, but Austin Rivers' drives tend to be a little bit more finesse and a little bit more let me beat my man off the dribble truly, whereas Eric Gordon, you know, Rivers said it post game after the 50 burger that Gordon dropped in Utah, where Eric Gordon's like a bowling ball. You know, the way that he's built, he's so thick that he drives to the basket and people just bounce off of him. So having that level of driving ability where you don't necessarily have to beat your man, but you just have to get close enough to the rim to body them off of you and then get an easy 2 points. His ability to finish at the rim is underrated on this team. That's an element of Eric Gordon's game that has to be honored, because when he's out there at the three-point line, if you sag too far off of him, he's going to shoot the three. If you're too close up on him and he can't get the three off, he's going to drive around you or at least get just far enough past you to where he can body you and then lay the ball up for two. I mean, how many times do we see Eric Gordon not necessarily beat his defender, but get right there to the rim, stop on a dime, and then just kind of gently, maybe not gently, aggressively, defensively, kind of shoulder bump his defender off or drop his, you know, drop his shoulder into the chest or into the side of his defender and just use his body, use his strength to his advantage to get that clean look right at the rim. That's the Eric Gordon specialty. Actually, I take that back. That's not the Eric Gordon specialty. The Eric Gordon specialty is stepping on the baseline when you're driving the ball or stepping out of bounds right before you start driving the ball. That's the Eric Gordon specialty. But one of Eric Gordon's other specialties is his ability to drive. And so I was impressed with him in the second half of this game. That was a great return to form. And something that isn't as impressive was the struggles of Daniel House Jr. So D House only played 12 minutes in this game. That was almost a game low or a team low for the Rockets. Ben McLemore only had 10 minutes. D House had 12. So I don't know what's going on with Daniel House, but it's not ideal. I mean, he's not playing poorly at least, but he just at the same time, I don't know if Mike D'Antoni necessarily has the right amount of confidence in Daniel House Jr. And I don't think this is something where it needs to be, okay, let's plug Eric Gordon back into the starting lineup or let's make a drastic change. But I genuinely can see Daniel House's minutes starting to decrease a little bit. I'd really like it if minutes would decrease across the board to actually find some time to get Damari Carroll some consistent playing minutes. I think he deserves it. I think that he is a guy that can help this team out. But at the same time, we did see as that losing streak started to coalesce, it almost happened because the Rockets were playing kind of a tight rotation for the six-game winning streak. They had their guys, they had their group of guys that were playing well together. And then as the losing streak started to happen, it felt like it partially happened because they were spreading the minutes around a little bit more across more guys. They were trying to, I guess, lighten the load on some of the starting players. And we saw some miscommunications between Damari Carroll, Jeff Green, Ben McLemore. We saw some defensive struggles with the guys that hadn't played together, that I guess hadn't built up that level of chemistry quite just yet. And so maybe there's some concern there that if Mike D'Antoni goes too deep into his bench, that, you know, he's going to see some miscommunications again on the defensive side of the basketball. I don't know. But Daniel House with only 12 minutes is, I'm not going to go so far as to call it concerning, but it's definitely eye-opening that MDA chose to run Daniel House so few minutes in this one. He also, if you look back, if you think back to the overtime in Boston, Daniel House Jr. sat out that entire overtime. Mike D'Antoni opted to go Eric Gordon over Daniel House Jr. Even though Eric Gordon had been struggling up to that point, he opted to run Eric Gordon instead of Daniel House Jr. So I think there's definitely some, it's not trust issues, but it's just, I think MDA has his guys that he'd rather trust in a close game over Daniel House. Does that mean he's going to lose his starting spot? I don't think so. I think he still gives you some slashing ability. He gives you some rebounding. Not in this one, unfortunately. Just snagged one rebound on the evening. Usually gives you some consistent three-point shooting. So, but in this one, he just didn't bring it, and Eric Gordon got the nod in the second half. A couple other guys off the bench that deserve some recognition. Austin Rivers with 11 points, 3 of 4 shooting from behind the arc, had himself a pretty solid game. Ben McLemore hit both of his three-point shot attempts, just played 10 minutes and only had 6 points, but he did exactly what he's supposed to do, which is step in there, hit a 3 or 2, and then go back and sit down on the bench, because that's all you really need out of Ben McLemore. And then Jeff Green, he did hit 1 three-point attempt, bit of an off game for Green, 1 of 6 from behind the arc, didn't attempt a single shot inside the arc, which coming up, I'll talk about that a little bit more, about some of the offensive actions between Jeff Green and James Harden that we'd like to see more of, and as well as a couple other final thoughts from this game. So don't go anywhere. And we are back in here for our final segment at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. So I know I mentioned it before I get into Jeff Green a little bit further. I know I mentioned it earlier on in the podcast, but it really was, to me, that stretch at the end of the third quarter going into the fourth where the Rockets started playing some really hard-nosed defense and turning those defensive stops into offensive points. That was the stretch where they won the game. It really was. That stretch, they went on a 10-0 run in that stretch from the scores 80 to 73. They went on a 10-0 run to close out the third quarter, and the series of, it was blocks, turnovers, there was a charge, there was a travel, there were so many offensive miscues for the Timberwolves that were dictated by the Rockets' defense, the hard-nosed defense at the end. That was literally the span of like a minute and a half at the end of the third quarter, minute and a half to the final 2 minutes that all of that happened in. And you don't win this. I don't think you win this game without that burst at the end of that third quarter. And to build on that, there were distinctly times throughout this game where the defense was not being the most optimal. Where I saw so many times Ben McLemore in just his 10 minutes, Austin Rivers a couple times, Harden a few times, Westbrook a couple times, even pretty much everybody on the Rockets roster. It starts from the point of attack from the Timberwolves, where if you don't stop the initial drive, if you just roll over and you're not stopping the initial driving point of the of the Timberwolves offense, then everything else falls apart. If you don't contain that initial drive, and I'm not saying you have to, you're not going to stop somebody driving to the basket every single time, but there has to be enough effort put there to where you don't have to drag in an entire secondary help defender, because that's when the defense starts scattering. That's when you start giving up wide open three-pointers. The Timberwolves on the evening, 14 of 35 from behind the three-point arc, 40% for them on the night. The Rockets caught back up to that. The Rockets as a team shot 15 of 38 on the evening for 39.5%, so the math wasn't necessarily in favor of the Timberwolves in this one. But again, it starts with the point of attack from the Timberwolves. If you can contain that, and this isn't just the Timberwolves, this is every team. And we've seen this since going small ball. There isn't a defensive anchor back there. There isn't a Clint Capella back there to help contest a shot at the rim if you break down on the perimeter. So the perimeter defense is key to keeping the Rockets' system intact, to not blowing up and giving these, you know, big leads away to opposing teams, because you have to contain them at the point of attack. And I think one guy that I do want to give some credit to, Eric Gordon, for even for his offensive struggles throughout this game defensively, he moves his feet well. He's got the size to keep his, you know, when he keeps his chest in front of a defender, they're not going to bully the ball past him. I think that Eric Gordon did a really good job in this one of containing drives. When I went back and looked at the replay of this game, there were multiple times where Eric Gordon got stops and forced, you know, bad shots by the Timberwolves just because all he was doing was keeping his feet in front of a defender. That's all we're asking for. And unfortunately, again, there were times that didn't happen, but at least for the stretch at the end of the third quarter, leading into the fourth, they were able to dial in and get that going. So back to Jeff Green, and again, a bit of a lackluster game from him in this one, but he'd also, in the previous game, didn't miss a single shot. I think it was 8 of 8 from the floor or something like that. So, you know, he was bound for some misses. Jeff Green and James Harden, and kind of running, you know, not necessarily a traditional pick and roll, but using Jeff Green as a screener for James Harden is something that I'd like to see more of. It's something that Ali Khambijani highlighted in his film study up on The Athletic, which is a phenomenal read. I highly suggest you go check it out if you guys haven't looked at that yet. So using Jeff Green and his size and his vertical spacing, because he is a guy at 6'9", gives you, with his athleticism, gives you some of the vertical spacing that you miss from Clint Capella. Now, is he necessarily quite the lob threat that Capella is? Not quite. But using him as a screener, whether it's off ball, whether it's on ball for James Harden or off ball for other players like Eric Gordon or Robert Covington or Westbrook or whoever, to get other players going downhill or to get other players, you know, have him set some flare screens for other players to get wide open three-pointers. Using him in the time that he's on the court, I think, is vital to the bench unit minutes and getting offense going that isn't as stagnant as what we've seen over the four-game losing streak. So I think one of the areas that, you know, I've been highly critical of, I know that Roosh has been highly critical of, is when the Rockets' plan A isn't happening, right? We'd like there to be a plan B, or we'd like there to be a way that you say, okay, yep, we missed 23 pointers in the first half. What are we going to do? Let's shoot 20 more in the second half. That is not the plan to me, or it shouldn't be, because I don't like seeing the team double down when they're struggling from three. However, I don't think necessarily picking up the pace or adding a little bit more variety to the offense is necessarily doubling down on let's continue to jack up three-pointers. I think one of the issues throughout that four-game losing streak is we saw less and less movement offensively. We saw guys lined up in the wrong spots on the court. Again, in Ali Kambijani's film study on the Rockets, he does a great job highlighting how the Rockets like their shooters lined up on specific possessions to maximize the spacing on the court. And then there were times throughout that four-game losing streak where they just weren't doing that, where guys were lined up wrong. You had guys cutting it in opportune times, which allows defenders to be in the right place at the right time to stop a James Harden or a Russell Westbrook drive. And I think that Jeff Green in this game specifically, even though he only had 3 points, there were multiple opportunities where Jeff Green was screening, or whether it was screening on ball or off ball, and helping to create good offense for the team. And I think that that's something that moving forward is important. And not only just creating the right opportunities for the team offensively, but getting into the offense faster. And that was the other side of that burst at the end of the third quarter, beginning of the fourth. Russell Westbrook was wasting zero time getting the ball going to where it needed to go, getting started, getting the offense moving quickly rather than waiting, letting the defense get set, you know, letting the shot clock tick down 5, 4, 3, 2, whatever. Westbrook was getting into the offense so fast, and James Harden continued that when he came back in. And that's an element that the Rockets were also missing during that four-game losing streak. They just weren't initiating their offense quickly enough. Now, this isn't necessarily, oh, they need to get out and transition more. I mean, that's nice, but even just getting up, running your offense, getting into your sequence quicker so that the defense doesn't have time to read and react and, you know, see everything unfolding in front of them. If you're snappier with your passes, if you're harder with your cuts, if you are quicker about setting your screens and then rolling or popping out to the three-point line, if you just do everything just a half step faster, makes it harder for the defense to keep up with you. And I think we saw that in this game as they went on their run to take the lead and to maintain the lead into the fourth quarter. We saw a snappier, quicker offense. We saw them getting into their sets faster. We saw them achieving what they need to achieve. We saw them play Rockets basketball, quote unquote. And I think moving forward, that's the recipe, right? Get into your sets fast, play hard-nosed defense. You're not going to get stops every possession. But if you play defense the way that they did at the end of this game, you're going to give yourself a fighting chance every single evening. And I think that's all that we can ask for from this team, especially moving forward into the next contest, I should say, against the LA Lakers. That's going to be a game where, in very Rockets-y fashion, I can see them winning this game. If they come out and have a shooting night like they just did against the T-Wolves, you know, about 40% from behind the arc, and if they play the same level of defense for a majority of the game instead of just the final 14-ish minutes, I can easily see them coming away with a W, which would be, again, a very Rockets-y type of game, considering they just went on a really terrible four-game skid, and then if you were to come out and knock off the top-seeded LA Lakers on the road, that'd be huge. So I'm really looking forward to that game. I'm looking forward to seeing them build on this game. Was it a phenomenal win? No. It wasn't a, you know, pat yourself on the back, but it's a tune-up win, and it's a win that they desperately needed, and it's a win in which Russell Westbrook had two of the most thunderous dunks that I've ever seen. I love when Russell Westbrook dunks the ball. He always plays with so much intensity, and just, it really is exhilarating to watch him play the game of basketball, but when he gets a breakaway dunk, and both times, it was because he crossed up D'Angelo Russell. Somebody on Twitter said that he crossed D'Angelo Russell all the way back to Golden State, which I thought was pretty hilarious, because he did look a fool out there twice as Russell Westbrook is just coming down the court, full head of steam both times, and then just a quick, you know, crossover to his dominant hand, and then soars into lane, couple tomahawk slams in this one. Loved every single moment of those dunks. Loved the effort at the end of the game. Loved that they came away with the win, and we don't have to talk about a loss. All these things, great things from this one. So I think that's about where we'll wrap up things for today. And as always, look forward to having you guys back here very soon, right here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball.